Blessed Sunday Church, we will continue our series today entitled The Treasure Principle. But before we start, can I ask a favor from you guys to please pray for our nation today, specifically those cities that are heavily affected by the Super Typhoon Odette? I know that wala ra kayo ta maapektuhan diri sa Davao City, and it's just easy to get, you know, get on sa life na to without showing deep concern towards those who are really affected by this calamity. But I believe Jesus calls us to have compassion to those who are in need. And we might not be able to give financial aid right now, but let's give them our sincerest prayers, surrendering all that is happening now to God. So I encourage you to pray for the people, sa, even sa tong government agencies and even sa initiative po sa mga non-government agencies who will mainly be providing aid and rescue sa mga naapektuhan. And most importantly, let's pray put for the gospel to really advance in times like this. So I'll give you time, moments to pray, and let's come to God in prayer together. Lord, in this time of need, we plead for your mercy for those who suffer the effects of Typhoon Odette. Today, many people are really afraid, fearing for their lives, fearing their loved ones are among the dead, and fearing for their future safety. I pray that you give comfort to the distressed, give shelter to those who need it, give food to those who are hungry. Those who are injured, we pray for relief. Give hope to those who just lost their loved ones. And we pray as well for the local, regional, and national government and the non-government agencies, even churches and those who has the power to help, to respond generously in this moment. Above all, may the people know that love and hope that they can only find in Jesus, as you make your presence known in amazing and surprising ways to them. We will trust in you, Lord, for you are our life. You are our rock. You are our refuge. You are our hope. In Jesus' name, amen. So thank you so much, guys, for praying with us. And I hope na magpadayon gihapon ta og ampo para sa pray sa situation nato karon and having this one heart with those who are really mourning and grieving at this very moment. Now, before na ko i-reveal ang second treasure principle sa atong message today, let's have a quick review first sa atong series, sa first part sa atong series last two Sundays ago. And we learned last time that the Bible has a lot to say about money and possessions. That we cannot really separate how we view, how we relate, and handle our money sa atong spiritual life. God knows that there is a fundamental connection between our spiritual life and how we think about and handle our money. And Jesus knew that too well, that our approach to money and possessions is so, so central to our spiritual lives. And the first treasure principle that we learned last time is this. You cannot take it with you. So you cannot take your earthly treasures with you, like money and possessions, but you can send it on ahead. And how do you do that? How can you send it ahead? By being generous, being ready to share, invest on people, invest in God's kingdom, and eternal and lasting treasures are prepared for you in heaven. So that's what we learned last time. That's the first treasure principle. And today, the treasure principle that we will learn and study together is this. God owns everything. I'm his money manager. So this is the treasure principle we will be given our focus to. Now, I'd like you to do something as we begin. I encourage you to participate, okay? Please take a moment and think about your wealth. Think about and write down the things that are part of your wealth. You know, I want you to make a list now and type it on the comment section. Anything that you could think of, the things that are very expensive to the least expensive, the things that are luxury para sa imuha and the things that you take for granted. So it could be your car, if not a car, or a motorcycle, or the clothes you have in a closet, your home appliances, imuhang balay, the gadgets that you have, the food on your table, or inside the refrigerator, or any entertainment system at home, okay? Write these things down. Now, as those things come sa imuhang mind, and you're beginning to share them sa comment section ato, I want you to focus on that list as you listen to what I read. Beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. That's in Deuteronomy 8:17-18. Behold, to the Lord your God belong to heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, O our God, and praise your glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle in the thousand hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine, and all that is in it. Now, as you hear those scriptures, I don't know how aligned your thought or view about your wealth is to the truths that I just read, but this is really the fundamental truth, okay? From the beginning to end, scripture emphasizes God's ownership over everything. God owns everything. We know that God owns everything and everything belongs to him, right? Whatever it that exists, it all belongs to God. And this is the truth that is so, so extremely clear in the scripture, as you just saw and heard. But at the same time, it's a truth that is extremely challenging. You know, in theory, we happily say or declare that God is the source of all that we possess. But in practice, we slowly, you know, begin to take ownership of our most prized possessions and accomplishments. In fact, this sense of ownership emerges in our early stage sa toang life, katong bata pa ka. Diba katong bata pa ka kung unsa imong makita or makitaan, nga ganahan ka ayo, di na mo buhian, o sahay, muhilak pa ka if ko, di na kuhaon, or dili kapalitan sa imong mama or papa sa imong gusto, di ba? And what we always say is that, the word that we always say is this, mine, or the phrase, ako ana. And as we grow older, we still have this kind of mindset, and we have more reasons to justify in ourselves that this money and every possession we acquire is ours, because we were the one who put in late nights and early mornings, we took the risk and made sacrifices, you know, we built the business, we earn it and we deserve it, and no one should ever dare to tell you how to handle your money. And you'll say, this is my house, my car, my bank account, my things and my family, and just mind your business, right? But if we think about this truth, this fundamental truth that God owns everything and you own nothing, it just breaks any pride and self-sufficiency in us, right? And it challenges us not to attach ourselves with our things so much that we think atua na, or gikan na sa atua, but acknowledge that everything comes from God. Because in the first place, the wisdom and the strength, the opportunities, the people who support around you, your skills and talents, it all comes from him. So God is the owner of everything. And even the people who acknowledge that there is a God or a supernatural being out there who created everything, acknowledge that the reality that all we see has a designer, and the designer owns it all. So if God is out, the owner or the designer, then what is our role then as his people? Now, let's look at the beginning of time when God created everything, including man. He gave them a responsibility to rule over what God has created. We can see that in Genesis 1, 28 to 30. And let me read to you. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it." Now, subduing means making it productive. Now, it doesn't mean that you explore it for personal advantage to the destruction of its usefulness to others, but making it productive for the good of others. And have dominion over the flesh of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So having dominion over, it means that we use and manage, you know, all the resources, the plants, animals, minerals, you know, air, water, and the best way possible to God's glory. Verse 29, and God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps in on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." So this passage tells us that God really is the owner. He's the one who gives everything. And humanity under God has been given a responsibility to take care of the earth. Since the beginning of time, God has called us to manage the resources He has given us in such a way that brings glory to His name and for the common good, for the good of the people. So we might think of God as the CEO of the earth and of ourselves as managers, or what we call stewards. A steward, according to Randy Alcorn, he said, "A steward is someone who entrusted with another's wealth or property and charged with the responsibility of managing it in the owner's best interest." I know that we are called to stewards our time, you know, talents and relationships or whatever God has given us. But in the context of this series, we are also called to steward or manage the wealth, including money and possessions, for the glory of God. So God expects us as His stewards to use all the resources He gives us to best carry out our responsibilities. Now, I spent a considerable amount of time talking about God's ownership, which I believe is very important. It's the most important truth to understand, because the reality is there can be no understanding of stewardship until there is an awareness of ownership, right? Because if you and I believe that we are the owner, then we are constantly going to be in conflict with God over what we do with the things that we have, right? But when we truly understand that the Lord is the owner and I'm only the manager, the steward, the conflict disappears, right? So, all right, if God is the owner and we are stewards of His resources, the next question is this: how do you know that you are living your life here on earth as a steward of God's wealth, right? Not acting like the owner. How do you know that? Now, let's look at 1 Timothy 6, 17 to 19 and discover how stewards ought to live their lives. So let me read. "As for the rich in this present age," now let's pause for a moment. For some of you, you might say, "Whew, salamat. Exempted ko aning nga sermon. Kay dili ko dato." You probably don't feel like it, but let me tell you that you are rich. In our culture today, you may not be regarded as wealthy, but in the global scheme, you are actually rich. You know what? I came across a website that tells you how rich you really are, and it will show you that what percentage you are compared to every other person in the entire world. So, nagtry ko, just an example, gitry na ko og 120,000 as the annual income, and post-tax na ni siya nga income. So, that would be 10,000 a month, 5K kada kinsina. So I think this is the minimum wage, right? Or below the minimum wage sa usaka Pinoy. Now, kung wala kay asawa, for example, and wala pud kay anak, mao ni ang result. You are in the richest 29.3% of the global population. That means 70.7 are poorer than you. And then what if nakaasawa but no children, wala pa kay mga anak? You're actually in the richest 41.6% of the global population. Now, what if nakayasawa no sa kanak? Now, ang the result is this: you are in the richest 48.4% of the global population. So, mas arang-arang pa ka sa more than half sa global population. So, see, you are rich, my friends. There are people globally who cannot even eat, you know, 3 times a day, or walay shelter, or cannot even afford to buy gadgets or milk tea. Okay? And you might even be wealthier than the first century Christian. So you are rich, right? I just want to clarify that. So Paul is addressing all of us here. Ayaw i-deny nga dili ka rich, okay? And money ang charge, money ang command ni Paul. Charge them not to be haughty or arrogant, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Verse 18, they are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. So, base ending a passage, we see 5 ways that a good steward of God ought to live. First is this, stewards are humble. Verse 16, command those who are rich in this world's goods not to be haughty. Now, the word haughty literally means high, or it has in the root of it the word for altitude. So it's a high-mindedness. It's a thinking that you are above everyone else. And I think haughtiness, or pride, is something that we all struggle with, and most especially, right, if we have more wealth, right? Now, Paul is not against riches here, nor does the Bible discourage us to get plenty or prosper in life, but we cannot really deny the fact that wealth makes us more vulnerable to this particular sin of pride. Because the reality is this, it can be easy to see the measure of our worth being directly proportional to the amount of our income, the abundance of our possessions, or even the status we have in the eyes of others, right? Nagyu tendency to associate wealth with your worth or with our worth, right? There is the danger of being arrogant, because riches can make you feel that you are worth more or that you are better than you really are. Madugangan pa jud na when people treat you with special care and attention. Diba kung naay mga dato, sila yung sama ang center sa attention. Naagi tendency that we feel special and we think that we're better than others when all the attention, all the eyes kay naa sa ato. Mauna bitaw, maingon ta sa uban, if muadto na ka, if mudato na ka, ayaw gud ko kalimti or ayaw gud i-change yung batasan. Usahay gina joke na nato na. But there's actually a reality to it. Some people become something else the moment they have money. Usahay ma-change gud ang batasan, and there's that tendency to feel like they are better than others. You know, rich people has this tendency to think that some people just aren't smart as them, or those people haven't worked hard as they have. That's why they have this success, because of their intelligence or hard work. And I believe you and I also have that tendency. You know, we tend to think higher of ourselves than we should and look down upon others. And C.S. Lewis said this, pride gets no pleasure out of having something, only out of having more of it than the next man. It is the comparison that makes you proud, the pleasure of being above the rest. Tunadaanin nga temptation, admit na to need to have the pleasure of being above the rest. Di ba usahay ingana ta, makasulod lang ganit ta, og nindot nga company that offers a high salary. Arrogant na dayon ta. We look down sa mga tao nga gamay ra og sweldo or wala nag-work in a luxurious or a known nga company, di ba? And usahay pud, perhaps moingon ta nga mas better or wise good ko kaysa sa uban, kay I let my money work for me and not the other way around. Now, okay man na kaayo that, you know, if naka business and whatever that is, that you let your money work for you, but ayaw po rin look down sa mga tao who are working hard to earn money, okay? Okay man na if God has blessed you with a nice job and a nice position, sa kung asa ka na company karon, but never be too proud of yourself that you look down on others who are not as the same as sa ladder nimo, okay? Or the same sa imo ha. Again, remember kung unsa man na nakakaroon, grasya ra na sa Ginoo, and you should not take credit sa imong self. And I believe that pride is a spiritual issue rooted in our forgetfulness as to who's responsible for getting. Which is, you know, Moses warns the Israelites before they had entered Canaan that that country with, you know, flowing with milk and honey, the promised land, and he warned them of the arrogance that often accompanies prosperity. And Moses said this, "Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day." So, the question is, who gives you the power, the abilities, even your opportunities to get wealth? It's God. Brothers and sisters, don't think that we are solely responsible and we're the ones who created our wealth. That, you know, we take credit to ourselves and then, you know, we feel like showing it off a little bit. We like to have others say, "Wow, amazing kayo ka, bro," or "amazing kayo ka, sis. How could you do that? How could you reach that dream? Saying anang edad, you're so clever. You have such an amazing car. You have a big house," and so on. Now, I'm not against hard work. I'm not against that, nor getting a reward from your labor. But I'm just giving you a warning not to let the power that comes from having more wealth blinds you to the reality that everything that you have comes from God. For you to have the ability to produce wealth, it comes from God. So that dili mo set in ang pride sa mong kasing-kasing. And as God's stewards, as we begin to realize that all we have and all we are given comes from a loving and generous God, that is really a humbling realization. You know, to be humble is to recognize that we are not the authors of creation, but we are just stewards of that creation. We always need to remember that the Lord is the one who gives us the ability and skill to create wealth, not to take credit sa atong kaugalingon that leads us to pride. So that's the first way to live. We must be humble as God's stewards, knowing that everything comes from Him. Now, the second way to live is this. Stewards do not put their hope in riches. In verse 17b, it says here, "Nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy." So, even though everything we have is from God, sometimes we can come to rely on the gifts rather than the giver, diba? Our default setting is to accumulate more and more and more. And the more we have, the more secure we think we are. You know, we rely more on our wealth rather than God. But Paul describes here that riches are uncertain. And why would we ever trust in something uncertain, right? Now, note that Paul does not tell us here that the wealthy should get rid of their wealth. No, Paul tells them not to put their hope in it. Okay, what's the reason? Because riches are temporary, as a bird staying in one place. Proverbs 23, verses 4 to 5, it says, "Do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from consideration of it. When you set your eyes on it, it is gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings like an eagle that flies toward the heavens." So wealth is just temporary, not lasting. It will be gone or lost. Wealth and possessions appear to bring us security, but they are really deceiving. You know, sometimes we think that if we only have enough money and more possessions in life, we will be able to, you know, relax and we feel more secure in life. Diba nga natong thinking? But the truth is, when we actually have a lot of stuff, a lot of things, we worry more because we have more to lose, right? Like sa una, wala pa kay gadget like cell phone. But karon na ana kay phone, and guess what does it bring you? Usahay mas stress o maglagot ka kay as nagkadugay mo ang cellphone, nagkahinay naman doon ang performance. Kamahal ra ba sa imong pagpalit, di ba? So unang wala pa kay ka naguna-una sa kwarta kay nagdepende pa ka sa i-provide sa imong parents. But now as you become independent and start to produce income and gain more wealth, you start to feel this anxiety na mublima. Okay, nanakay problems related sa money and you feel less secured and walay inner peace usahay. Kay what if mawala? What if makawat ra? Or if nag-invest ka, what if mas scam? So see, when we have more wealth, we worry more because we have more to lose. Now, this is not to say ha nga murag dili na pud ka magbuy og stuff that you really need and aim for prosperity in life, but my point is do not put your ultimate hope and security and even joys of wealth that you have kay the more ka ma-stress and ma-depress and basin mag-suicide pa ka according sa study ba kay isa sa mga leading catalyst of for suicide kay financial stress. Now let me tell you a short story of John Wesley. John Wesley was a leader of the Methodist movement. And one day, naay usa ka suko kayo nga man who furiously rode his horse up to John Wesley and shouting, mingon siya, "Mr. Wesley, Mr. Wesley, something terrible has happened. Your house has burned to the ground." Now, thinking deeply about the news for a moment, Wesley replied, "No. The Lord's house burned to the ground. That means one less responsibility for me." We might say, "Oh, come on, get real, Wesley." You know, we might not believe this story. Okay, honestly, if I'm in this situation, if ako naani nga situation, I'm not really sure if yung anawang reaction. Og imbohang reaction, riba? If masunugan ka, og balay with all the stuff you have. Kay usahay, magasgasan na gani gamay ang screen sa atong phone or gadget ba kaya na grabe na dayon ta makareact, you know, musyagit na dayon ta. And how much more if mawala atong stuff, maguba na dayon ato ang kalibutan, di ba? But Wesley's reaction is so amazing. So amazing, right? And I believe it didn't, you know, stem from a denial of reality. I believe he processed niya and maybe he wrestled with his mind, but his words are very encouraging that, you know, comes from his understanding of life's most basic reality, that God is the owner of all things and we are simply his stewards. God is the owner of all things, you know, he gives and takes away, and when God takes, as John Wesley said, that means one less responsibility for him. What a mindset. You know what? As God's stewards, we have to remember that wealth is uncertain. Stuff is uncertain. We receive something, but eventually we might lose that thing, that stuff, either before we die or after. And putting all our hopes to earthly wealth is just a foolish thing to do. That's the point here. It doesn't give you a lasting security and joy that it promises, but our hope should be in God alone. When God gives us something like money and possessions, yes, ato nang i-accept, but we have to remember that our hope must be in the God who gave us not the wealth God gave. Because wealth will be gone soon, but God is certain and his promises are true. And in his presence, there's fullness of joy, peace, and we're always safe in his loving hands. And let me ask you a few questions here to help you assess sa imong life if you've really set your hope on the creation, on the blessings, on the gifts, rather than the creator. Okay, here are the questions. Do you find that your joy in life goes up or down according to your bank account? Are you consistently depressed whenever unexpected expense arrive? Have you ceased to pray for your needs because you feel that you've got them covered? Could it be that you have fixed your hope on the uncertainty of riches? Now, surely saving or having, you know, emergency fund is really good, but it does not give us ultimate security in life, but our security is in the Lord alone. So when you start to have money, more money, when you get that raise, when you get that promotion, when you get that bonus, okay, karong December dagan kayo bonus, I think some of you naka-receive na. Now, when all of, you know, life, when all of sudden things start looking good for you, make sure that your hope will not begin to migrate towards the riches. Rather than be satisfied with the gifts, Paul directs us towards the giver. You know, he asks us to fix our hope on God, the one who is the true owner of everything on earth. He says that God will richly supply everything that we need and for us to enjoy, reminding us that God is not just dependable, but really lavish when he gives. He richly provides for our enjoyment. And this takes me to my third point. Stewards, enjoy God's gifts. Now, with the command to not put our hope in riches, clearly Paul is not teaching a dili kamo accept or you will just reject the gifts of God has given you. Now, there is a particular error that some people make today that we call ascetic theology, or what I call don't enjoy anything theology. So according to this theology, para mamahimo kang spiritually mature, you have to reject marriage, you have to reject certain foods, or in general, reject all kinds of good things that God created. That you must keep yourself from physical comforts and pleasures to a minimum. That you commit yourself to a severe treatment of your body or to poverty para, you know, ma-please ang Ginoo sa imong kinabuhi. If na'y prosperity gospel, na'y poverty gospel. But based on the text we just read today, God wants you to enjoy every blessings He gives you. He wants you to acknowledge that His blessings sa imuha and just rejoice about it. You know, in Ecclesiastes 5:19, it says here, everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept His lot and rejoice in His toil. This is the gift of God. So God wants you to enjoy whatever you receive from Him as a fruit of your labor. And this is the consistent message of the Bible. Wealth is not bad and can be a gift from God. However, I just want to clarify that the word enjoys in verse 17 doesn't mean self-indulgence. Like you just enjoy it for yourself. Like the parable of the rich fool who just wants to enjoy the abundance by himself. But remember that God gives it to you, not so you'll treasure the gift by yourself, but for you to glorify the giver. We know that giving him glory for your wealth and your possessions is actually what brings you joy, and it brings God pleasure as well. Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:31 to 33 echo this truth. It says here, therefore, do not be anxious, Jesus said, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? So do not worry about food and clothing. Verse 32, for the Gentiles, those who don't know God, seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Verse 33, a very famous verse, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So the point here is that you should not be anxious about the earthly stuff or the earthly wealth as if life is all about these things. But instead, seek God's kingdom and He will provide you with everything that you need in order to do what He wants you to do. And I believe that living for God and His kingdom really gives us joy and sense of fulfillment in life, right? So as God's stewards, when God gives us wealth, it is just meant to be enjoyed, not to be served, okay? It is not a God where we place atuang hope, but it is God's provision to accomplish what He wants us to do as we seek His kingdom. So enjoy what God has given you, brothers and sisters. Acknowledge that it comes from God and thank God for it, but never ever bow down to it. Instead, use it for His glory by living for His kingdom. Okay, so that's the second way to live. Now, the third way, the next thing we do as God's stewards is this. Stewards must be rich in good works and give willingly. So verse 18 says, they are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. So there appear to be four things here, but really they are just all connected. You know, those who have been so richly blessed by God should be rich in good works and generous. As God's stewards, at dapat hinumdum mo that when God blesses you with plenty of money, don't let that go sa imuhang ulo and you puff up with your pride. Instead, make sure that you are rich in good works. Be good to people and bless them. Be generous and ready to share. The point is, your prosperity is to profit and benefit others. The more he increases your wealth, the more opportunity you have to do good to other people. So God supplies you with everything you have so that you would use it for others. That's the point. But the problem is, this is not our default mindset. Whenever, you know, we receive something, diba? In fact, if you are honest, you and I have this struggle to give. Because the sad reality is this, giving takes the focus of ourselves and puts it onto someone or something else. And we don't like that. We want to serve self and prioritize self more than people apart from the Spirit of God. Sometimes we walk in the flesh, even Christians, we think about ourselves first. Like if I ask you a question right now to evaluate your life, how many of you, when you get plenty, like karong December, kay daghan may mga bonus and blessings, right? How many of you thought about someone nga inyong masiran sa inyong blessings? How many of you allotted a percentage para itabang sa someone nga nanginahanglan? How many of us intentionally and sacrificially keep something to give to the church? Or how many of you ngayon yung ginahuna-una when you receive ka ng mga blessings, moingoday mo, uy, naay bonus, this is the time to improve my lifestyle. Morning time to buy more stuff, labi na daghan kayo sale karong panahon. Now, guys, I'm not against buying stuff and not pointing fingers at anyone because I myself need to reflect on this truth. But this command to be rich in good works should help us evaluate our lives. That when we get plenty, do we see it as an opportunity to do good to others for God's glory, or do you just keep it to yourself and pile up more stuff for yourself? Interest. You know what? The God who owns everything commands us to really give. And I believe that it is for our good. Think about it. If wealth makes us vulnerable to pride and self-centeredness, I believe the only cure for that is actually giving, because it is only when you give that you start to put value, importance, and serve others, think of their interest rather than yourself, right? And also, giving is the only way that we let go of our ownership, that we don't have the right to just keep it just for ourselves, because the one who truly owns that, owns your wealth, wants us to give and share what we have to others. So, if you give, you're actually saying, God, this is yours, and do whatever you like with your money through me. But if dili ka nagahatag, you're actually saying that, God, this is mine, and I can do anything I want with my money. Now, which do you think is biblical? So, giving is really a foundational way we express that we accept the fact that we are stewards and He is the owner. Now, you don't have to give big amount of money or do something great in order to be generous, right? You can actually do little sacrifices in your daily life for the sake of other people. Like for example, if nakay sakyanan, nakay car, or motorcycle, and you know that it belongs to God, use it to give a friend a ride nga need og transportation if naay mga emergencies, for example. And if your house belongs to God, use it to host a group so people can connect and grow in their relationship with Jesus, or just simply welcome people sa imong panimalay. And if God owns your wallet, use that money to provide for people in need and build His kingdom. Now, everything belongs to God, and we get to share in what belongs to Him. What you give, it's actually something that has been given to you by God. And lastly, as you use your wealth for the benefit of others, Paul says in verse 19 that you are storing up treasures for themselves or yourselves as a good foundation for the future, so that you may take hold of that which is truly life. And that takes me to my last point. Stewards must pursue God's rewards. So God promises eternal riches to those who are givers. And this is what we emphasize the first installment sa aning a series. And if you want to go deeper, aning a point that you want to live with that eternal rewards in mind, please do watch the first part sa series. And we learned last time that you cannot really take your riches with you sa akong panggingon ganiha, but you can send it on ahead by giving generously, because as Jesus promised, great are the treasures you have in heaven. Now, John MacArthur writes, your money won't follow you to heaven, but something will. You live your money here, you take your spiritual good deeds there. in heaven, they do follow you. Every time we could have given and didn't give lessens the wealth that is laid up for us in heaven. Every time we give, what we had increases the riches laid up for us when this life comes to an end. And you know what? As we think about our eternal rewards as God's stewards, this is actually a great reminder that as we give, we must think of, you know, eternal rewards more than just the earthly rewards that we get from people. Kaya usahay, najud motivation nato, if muhatag ta ang motivation is para ma-appreciate ta sa mga tao, ma-approve ta sa mga tao, mauna usahay kung muhatag bitaw ta, basta dako gani hatag ipagawas dayo na confident kay tay pagkita mga papil diha, pero kung sincerely ra gani grabe gid paning kamot in town, ipaduol ang offering box diha dapit sa bulsa, di ba, or gabi ang pagkumot imo sa kwarta para matago lang jud, because ato motivation is to really please people kay maulo to sa mga sa inyo sa uban, and sometimes ato motivation is mutabang rata para tabangan ta og balik. Now, wala man ang problema if mutabang ang person sa imo, ha, buhon. But that should not be your primary motivation or your motivation at all. You give because of your understanding of the sacrificial giving that God has done for you in Jesus and for the eternal rewards you will receive in the future. And why would you replace the eternal rewards that God gives to some earthly rewards nga tao ra ang makahatag sa imo? Dili pa gyud eternal, right? We don't pursue praises, you know, approval, or for people to give back to us, but we pursue God's reward as, you know, His stewards, as He finds us faithful in stewarding the resources He has given us. So as we are placing treasures in heaven, it will be waiting for us for all eternity. And if you live like this, you know, you give generously with eternity in mind, Paul says that you have laid hold on which is truly life. In other words, you have come to grips with real living when you start to give and share to others. And we cannot really take hold of that which is real life while holding on sa atong money, but God wants us to give it away because this is truly life in His kingdom. For some of you, life is all about, you know, just being born in this world, just study, land a good job, acquire more wealth, save for retirement, play golf, and die. But in the kingdom of God, no. A well-lived life involves seizing opportunities to serve the Lord by generously giving to others. You know what, church? There's more to life than just acquiring wealth. Isn't this what Jesus said in the parable of the rich fool in Luke 12:15? Jesus said, and He said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Now, Jesus' point here is that your life does not consist of what you own. So what is life is all about then? Now, Jesus answered that in the same chapter as He tells about the parable in verse 21. Jesus said, so is the one, or foolish is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. A life that has a meaning, in the kingdom of God is a generous life. A well-lived life is others-centered with an eternity in mind. So, how to live as stewards of God here on earth? You live a humble life. Do not put your hope in riches. Receive and enjoy God's blessings. Live a generous life and pursue eternal rewards. Now, ang uban sa inyo has nagapaminaw mo as you're listening, wala pagin mo kaila kay Jesus, that you haven't trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, my encouragement for you is this, to accept Jesus as your Savior who dies for all of your sins for you to gain eternal life by faith in Him. And not just a Savior, but also your Lord, because Lord means the boss or the master. Because honestly, stewardship doesn't really make sense to you if you think that you are the boss of your life. But if you understand that God is your boss, you know, a wise and good and loving boss of your life, a master whose concern is for your good, then submitting to His control, even over your money, makes sense to you. So my encouragement for you is to submit to God by submitting to the Lordship of Jesus sa imong life. Accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior. And for us nga mga Christians, we actually have more reason to be generous. Not just because God owns everything we have, but we ourselves experience God's generosity sa atong life by giving His own Son for us. And if we truly tasted God's love for us, we begin to love others. And giving is one of the tangible expression of that love. 1 John 3:16 to 18, it says, "By this we know, love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." And how do we do that? "But if anyone has the world's good deeds or goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." So the bottom line, brothers and sisters, is that generosity fits with the gospel so closely that not to live a generous life should cause us to question if we really believe the gospel. Because if we truly experience the love of Jesus, we become more generous in the way we live our lives. Let's pray. Loving Father, we believe that You own everything and that You are the giver of all good gifts, and we are just stewards of what You have given us. Free us, Lord, from our tendency to be prideful, thinking that all that we have, our money, possessions, achievements in life, comes from us and our own effort. May the power of the gospel break our pride that as Christians, wala may nakapanag-iya sa mga butang. At the same time, we don't also own ourselves, our own lives, because Jesus has bought us with a price. We don't own ourselves anymore in a sense that You created us and redeemed us through Christ. And because of this truth, we live for You with all that we have and all that we are. May we use what You have given us with a submissive heart to our Master Jesus and with love towards Your people. Enable us to obey You this week as we seek to be generous in the spirit of love by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching. I hope to see you next week for the third part of this series.